great worship time and thankful for that. But today, I want to dig into the word a little bit, and we're going to be in John 15, verses 1 through 11 is the passage that we're going to touch on. But the idea is that I want to convey is abiding in Christ. And Christ is compared to a vine here in this passage. So abiding in the vine is the idea. But everything that is alive has to have a connection to its life source. A plant has to be connected to a vine. Like, we need our heart. Everything needs a source of life. I have a tree in my front yard. And for some reason, whenever there's like a stiff breeze, sticks are falling from the top of that tree and landed in the yard. So if there's like a storm at night and I wake up the next day, the yard's covered in these sticks. So what had happened with these sticks is they get detached somehow from their life source and they just wither and they fall from the tree when the wind comes and whatever. Fortunately, I'm able to collect those sticks and Lawrenceville will come by and pick them up, which is nice. But they fall because they kind of lose their connection to their life source. And as Christians, we need to be connected to our life source, or we become like the stick. We become, there's no life in us. We have to be connected to the life source to stay connected to the tree. And that's the truth if we want to be a fruitful Christian as well, to be doing things in our life. We need to be connected and abiding in Christ. And if we look at verse 5 in these, what we're about to read, it says, you can do nothing without God. So it's God doing the work through us. But when you look at your everyday life and you're choosing and you're deciding what you're going to do, it's you choosing to read your Bible. It's you choosing to pray. It's you choosing to do these different things and to serve. So there seems to be two truths there, right? It's like a paradox that God is doing it through us, but we're choosing to do it as well. So how do those two things mesh? And that's what Jordan read in Philippians 2, 12 through 13. Those verses say again, therefore, my dear friends, just as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but even more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is working in you both to will and to work according to his good pleasure, purpose. So you're working out your own salvation. He's telling you to do that. But then he says, but it's God who's making you want to do that in the first place, giving you the will to do it. And then to actually do the action, the energy for the action. So it's all God, but it seems to be we're making the decision, so there is like there's a mix there. But the key to this is that if we want to be fruitful and have a connection to God, we need to be abiding in Christ. The definition of abiding is to remain in one place at a given time with someone. So you could say just spending time with Christ could be how we look at abiding. But I'm going to read through John 15, 1 through 11, just to see this abiding in the vine idea. Those verses say, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes, and he prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I in you. Just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without me. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown aside like a branch and he withers. They gather them, throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that my joy may be in you, and your joy may be complete. As we look at that passage, the word remain is the same word that in other versions is called abide. So it's the Greek word meno, but it's translated remain, abide, and it's found all throughout John. I chose abide just because I like the sound, but it's the same concept behind those words, remain. So anytime you see remain, it's saying abide, it's the same thing. And that's just going through and explaining it's an allegory and saying your relationship to Christ and abiding in Christ is kind of a complicated idea. We saw like that interplay. But think of it like this. Think of it like a vine. And, you know, we're connected to the vine. The Father is the husbandman, and we are the branches producing the fruit. So I just want to look at that allegory a little bit here, just an intro. And then I want to look at three things that we grow by abiding in Christ. The first thing is we grow in truth. The second thing is we grow in fruitfulness. The third is we grow in love. So just real quickly this morning, look at those things. But just talk about the vine allegory a little bit first. So as we look at that, Jesus, you'll notice that he starts this thing out by saying, I am the true vine. And that's significant. But he goes in through and says, like, you are the branches, but the whole vine is Christ. The root, the vine itself, the branches, we are in Christ, so it's him as well. He is all of it. And then the Father is the husbandman. He's the one upkeeping everything. He's doing all of the care. But as we move on, it says he is the true vine. And that is significant to these Jewish people he's talking to in the upper room because they had a view of Israel being that vine. Israel was always the vine in the Old Testament, and that's God's vineyard. God's taking care of it. But then we move to here, and he says, I am the true vine, which might have, you know, had an alarm go off in their minds. And what he's saying is that he is the fulfillment of that Old Testament imagery. But it is very much an Old Testament idea of Israel thinking that they are the vine. And in the temple, Solomon's temple, we have that is the temple. But if you zoom in on that awning up there, that is a vine and grapes. So it's actually woven into the temple itself and on the temple gates too, this vine imagery that they think that they are the vine. And so when we move on into this teaching, he says, it's no longer Israel, it's going to be me. Like Jesus is the true vine. He fulfills that imagery. And he's saying that they are no longer going to be the vine, Israel. And he says this in Matthew 21, 33 through 44, which I won't read it. It's kind of lengthy, but it's the parable of the vineyard. And this man owns the vineyard, and he has people working it for him. And so he keeps sending messengers to the vineyard to see what's going on and to check up on things, and they keep persecuting them. And so he's like getting frustrated, and so he sends his son finally. He says, surely I send my son, and it's not, they're going to listen to him. But what happens is they kill him. They kill his son. And so what would you do? Jesus asks, what would you do with the people if that's what happened to your vineyard and the workers are rebelling this much? What would you do with that situation? And we see that's what happens. Like he takes it from them and gives it to Christ. That's what he's saying. This has happened. Israel has killed the prophets. Every time God has sent them someone, they've persecuted him and pushed them out. And then finally he sends the son to them, and they kill the son. So why would God, you know, it flows to think, why would he keep his vineyard with these people? And so it's moving to Christ. He's the fulfillment. So he is the true vine in the day that he's teaching this. He's saying, he's introducing the teaching, but he's still the true vine today. There's so many false vines out there that we can latch on to. One false vine is dry religion, just doing things and for actions for salvation. If we do enough, if we're a good enough person, maybe we can make it into heaven. That's dry religion. That's not the vine that's going to give life. There is man's good opinion of us. Many people bend over backwards to like have a good opinion, and morals doesn't matter as long as these people think well of me. That's not the true vine. Some people see it as relationships, and that can't be your God either, because if you see this person as your God, like you're putting all this focus on them, they can't shoulder that responsibility. They can't be your God. You have to have God for that and worship God, and that person, if you try to make them that, they can't handle that pressure. Like, they don't make a good God. Only God makes a good God. So that's a false vine that's going to lead you to not have life, finding it there. So you have to find it in Christ. And money's another one. Like, people will cross the world and do whatever and sacrifice whatever just to make more money, which is fragile, and we can't take it with us. And a bad a bad thing to have as a god as well. So there's so many false vines out there that we can chase after. There's only one true vine, and it's Christ, and he's saying, I am the true vine. We have to be abiding in him to have that life connection. And how do we do that? So it's basically drawing near to God, and how we do that is his word, like studying. You want to be in the word, learning it, meditating on that, praying, church, like you're absorbing it and you're obeying it and meditating on it. That's how we draw near to God and obey and abide in Christ. So we need to stay connected in order to have these things. So I encourage you to work towards abiding more closely, fit more of this stuff into your life if you can. Because if we aren't doing this, we won't have the results that we maybe want in our lives. And I have an example of at my house. I have an orchid, and I have a picture of it here. And it blooms in the fall and in the spring. What is funny about it is that shelf that it's on is kind of on a ledge. It's like that. So if you bump into it a little bit, it'll topple over. And if those flowers are so heavy, when they're just those green bulbs, that if it hits the ground, it just pops off. The whole branch of flowers just disconnects. And I've done that before. I've knocked it and just, and so you lose all of that, you know, all that effort and time you put into the plant. It just comes right off. But as we look at that today, we have an option. We have a choice of what do we want to be. Do we want to be the orchid that blooms, or do we want to be the one that's disconnected, that cannot be fruitful? It is disconnected from the vine. So which one are we choosing to be in our everyday walk? Are we abiding, therefore producing fruit, or are we disconnecting and we just simply cannot have that fruit because we're not in Christ? So we want to stay connected. So that is the allegory of the vine. Now I just want to look at these three things really quickly this morning. And the first is, as we abide, we grow in truth. And we can only grow in truth because it is forever settled. It is always true. It's an absolute truth. It's not a relative truth. And in John 15:7, like we just read, it says, if my words remain in you. And it's because that it does last forever. 1 Peter 1:23-25. I'd like to read that verses. Because you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory is like a flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this word is the gospel that was proclaimed to you. So you cannot abide in something that is always changing. So if the word of God always changed, you wouldn't be able to abide in it because you'd keep having to go to the different thing. But it is forever settled in heaven. Like his word lasts forever. It's always true. And therefore, we can get more of it in our lives and we can build off of that. And this is significant because there's so much relative truth out there today. Like nothing can be absolute. Nothing's always true, right? Like modern culture is saying this. Everything's up to interpretation. It's all whatever you think about it is what makes the case. And it's even seeped into religion. So as you look at the Bible, some people will teach that there is no truth in the Bible. It's only truth if you read it, and whatever it says to you, that's the truth. Your truth is the truth. And it's relative, simply not the case, though, because what would happen? It follows that all of us would come in with different truths. We'd conflict and say, what's going on here? It's just chaos. It's not relative. There is an absolute truth, and it's in the Bible. And because it doesn't change, because it's settled forever, we can grow into it. And as we're growing into this truth of the word, it cleanses our lives. And John 15:3 says that it cleanses us. That's the word that says prune. God the Father prunes us. It means cleansing. Like water kind of washes off the mold or whatever that can get on the vines in a vineyard. Sometimes they just get dirty or whatever, and stuff might be blocking it. So you kind of cleanse the stuff out of the way so that the vine can become more fruitful and grow more. Sometimes in life, we need that gentle wash of the cleansing. But sometimes we need like a pressure wash, like get it out of our lives. We need to cleanse these things out. And I thought about that because pressure washing, I didn't even know was a thing, honestly, till a few years ago. And I used it, and it like made this my driveway look brand new. Like, this is amazing. So it's pretty cool. But some of us need, you know, sometimes we need just a gentle wash of our lives. And then, but there's some aspects of our life where we need the hard cut, like we need that cleansing. And the word by the Father does that in our lives. But we can't do this alone. And we don't have to. Like I said, like at the beginning, it's kind of us and God as well. We're both at the same time doing it. So Jesus is the Word. And John chapter 1, it says the Word was God. The Word was with God in heaven from the beginning. Like the Word is Jesus. And he's with us and helping us along this road. So as we're looking at growing in truth, and you want to be cleansed by the Word in your life, you cannot be cleansed, and you can't really understand that truth unless you're taking it in. You have to be reading the Word to really be changed by it, to really understand it. So I encourage you, all of us, any of us, can always dive a little bit deeper into the Word. And it could look different ways. Like, I've heard some people will go into a book that they just have interest in, and they'll read it like 10 times, and just keep reading it. And there's something funny about the Word of God in that the first time you read something, you'll get some things out of it, certain ideas, but then the 10th time, you just get different things from it because you're just more familiar with the content and you just, certain things get highlighted as you go through it. So you could do that, let's like read through a certain book, or we have this reading plan at GCC. That is a great way to do it, like going through the Bible, almost the whole Bible in a year, but so another great option as well. So there's different ways that we can do it. I encourage all of us to just get in more than we are now. So we want to be, as we abide, we grow in the truth. Then as we abide, secondly, we grow in fruitfulness. So we'll be growing fruit. And the Father's the one that does this pruning. He goes through and takes our life, and if it's fruitful, he starts to help us become more fruitful. And he cuts away the branches that are not fruitful, which we'll talk about in a second. But this abiding produces fruit in Christians. And if you look at the Word of God, there's no example of someone being a Christian and not having any fruit. There's no such thing as a fruitless Christian. If you are a Christian, there will be works. There will be fruits. Like a lot of verses say, he saved us unto good works that we do them. They are foreordained for us to do. There is that in there. But as we're going about and abiding and we're showing this fruit, there's three aspects of fruit that I thought of. One is actions, and this actions in your life can look a few different ways, but, you know, sacrificial living. When you see someone that's sacrificing of themselves for other people, you kind of see, yeah, this is a Christian. Like, you know, this kind of screams it. When they're witnessing to people, you witness of the gospel, and that helps people to see that you're a Christian. So there's different actions that you can take that kind of show that and that you can grow in. Another thing is the fruit of the Spirit. So Galatians 5, 22 through 23, and I'll read that quickly. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The law is not against such things. So if a person is portraying this in their life, like it's safe to say they're probably a Christian. Like they're showing the fruits of the Spirit. So that's a way to know that that person is a Christian. Another one is the armor of God. And we see that in Ephesians 6, 10 through 13. And we know the armor of God, like all the different pieces represent different parts of your faith. And if we're abiding, we will be prepared for that battle. If we're not abiding, we're probably going to lose that battle. We won't lose it for all, like Jesus wins the battle. But in our walk, like we're going to not be doing well because we're not abiding. We don't have that armor on. And as you look at military stuff, like I love history, and as you look at military, the supply line is the most critical thing in a battle, especially if you're going into a different place. So Hitler, when he's going to invade Russia, he can't get his supply line up there because his cars freeze. He loses the battle. Like he just could not get his stuff up there. It's too cold. Another one is in with America in World War II, we had our Japan front, and there was like, I can't remember, I didn't check this, I think it was 6,000 miles or something, a supply line, the longest in history, somehow was maintained, and we could fight that battle because of that amazing length of a supply line. But as soon as the supply line gets cut, you lose the battle. So we, with our Christianity and our abiding, that's a vital thing. Like, it's true even in military stuff. It's true for us as Christians with the armor of God. We need to be abiding if we want to be fruitful, if we want to be succeeding as a Christian. So it's these fruits that confirm our faith. Like James, show me your faith without works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Like, doing the things will show your faith. But again, we can't do this ourselves. Like, there's that interplay again, and that's where this counselor comes in. As we see in John 14, like a little before where we are here, John 14, 15 through 17, says, if you love me, you will keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. He is the Spirit of truth. The world is unable to receive him because it doesn't see him or know him, but you do know him because he remains with you and will be in you. So we see the Spirit remains in us, abides with us. He's there to help us. That's the Holy Spirit. So are you working in your life to be producing more of this fruit? And what it could look like in your life is, as you're serving, as you're teaching Sunday school, or as you're doing There's Hope for the Hungry, or medical missions, or whatever it is that you find to do in the church, sometimes it'll feel like you're stretching yourself. And you could take that as, you know, this isn't right for me. I just probably should find something else. Or it could be that you're just getting outside of your comfort zone, which that actually is a good thing. So I'd encourage you, if it feels just a little bit like you're stretching yourself, it's probably good, because then you will be growing. If it's a growth feeling, then that's a good thing, because that's where the Holy Spirit is. He's helping you to become more fruitful in what you're doing by training you to do these different things. So sometimes if we, you know, embrace God and rely on the Holy Spirit, the counselor, to help you keep continuing on in that direction. So as you go into your life, like, what areas of your life do you need that washing? What areas do you need that power washing? Like, to think through those things in your life and start to work on them. And God, through the counselor, does it as well. As we abide, we increase in fruitfulness. Then finally, as we abide, we grow in love. And we find that in John 15, 9 through 11. And we can abide in love, we can grow in love, because Christ loves us. And his love never ends. His love is forever. John 10, 28, which is the same John that we're referencing in our other teaching, says that no one can pluck you from his hand. No person can do that, not even you. Like, you can't mess up your own salvation. If you could mess up your salvation, if any of us could, we would. Because we're fallible humans, we would mess it up. But we're forever secured. No one can pluck us from his hand. And then Romans 8, 38, that Mount Everest of Scripture, says that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. No heft, nor height, nor depth, nor persecution, nakedness, famine, sword, not even death, can separate us from the love of Christ. We're forever sealed by the Holy Spirit. We are completely safe. So his love abides for us, with us forever. It remains with us. And so how do we respond to that forever love that he's showing us? And all throughout here, the response to that love is obedience. That's the way he's explaining it. Like, if you want to show love, obey. Obey the commands that I've told you. So we know the disciples obeyed, because they went out and changed the world, as we saw in Acts, and we're kind of a result of that here coming to church. Like, we see the result of Acts, how much they did in spreading the church. And Jesus also says that love will be such a pronounced part of his disciples' lives that everyone would know his disciples by the love they show one another. Like, that's going to be a huge pronouncing quality. But again, we can't do this alone, right? It's a joint thing. Like, and God does it with us because he is love. 1 John, which is the same John, wrote 1 and 3rd, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, wrote this gospel, but 1 John 4:16 says this, "And we have come to know and to believe that the love that God has for us, God is love. And the one who remains, abides in love, remains in God, and God remains in him." So God is love, and he's with us. So he has this love with us. It's forever. And so we respond to it by obedience. So how do we practice this? How do we go about and practice this love? And another portion of this is that it's a commandment, right? It's the greatest commandment. So the disciples ask Jesus, "Teacher, what's the greatest command?" And he tells them to love your Father, God, and then to love one another. And by doing this, you keep all the law and prophets. So you want to keep all the law and prophets. Showing love will put you in that direction. So obeying. And having love behind your obedience is really what separated Jesus' followers from the Pharisees. So the Pharisees had all their I's dotted and T's crossed, but they didn't have love behind it. It was all dry, and they would just beat people over the head with these rules. And he's saying, that's wrong. It's empty. It's whitewashed sepulcher. It doesn't have that love inside. It's the love behind it that really separated Jesus' followers from the rest of the teachers. So as we go about our lives and we want to show love to other people, a big portion of this is obedience and just following after God and doing his commands. And if we aren't doing it as Christians, as the church, if we're not obeying, if we're not showing the love, the world isn't going to see it because Christ has gone, he has ascended. The Holy Spirit is here with us, but he is invisible. So if the world is ever going to see the love of Christ, it's going to be through you, through me, through us, the church. We're the hands and body, we're the hands and feet in the body of Christ to the world. So the only way the world sees it is through us. So we need to be doing this. We need to be showing love and obeying the commands in response to God's love for us, that he died for us, and that's why we go out and do these things. So what area of your life can you work on this? Like, what area can you obey to a fuller extent or in a different way? Or, like, show your love to Christ, and by doing so, be obedient to his word. So we've seen in these three ways that if we abide in the vine of Christ, we grow. We grow in truth. We can grow in fruitfulness. We can grow in love. And then finally, at the end of this, if you guys noticed it, he finishes out by saying, this is joy. If you do this, you will have my joy, and the joy will be complete in you. And everyone wants joy. Everyone wants to be happy. In our American creed, the pursuit of happiness, we all want to be happy. And he's saying, Christ is saying, if you want happiness, abide. It's here. Abide in Christ. It's right here in Christianity. There is joy. You can have it. We have it, and we can be sharing with other people. We can have it to a greater extent by abiding more, but I encourage you to abide in Christ. We need to be doing this if we want to have that example in front of the world, if we want to be showing love to other people. So we have what the world needs. We have something that so many people want. People want happiness in their life. They want joy. We have it to share. People want truth. Everyone wants the truth. There's so much shifting sand out there and so many opinions from different people that people try to latch on, but then next month it changes. And so what do? You just keep shifting and nothing's ever solid. But we have a solid truth. We have the word. And we can be giving that to the world and saying, hey, here's truth. It doesn't change. It's absolute. Here it is. We have what the world wants in that way. We have another thing. We have purpose in our life. So many people want to have purpose. Like, why do I live? Why am I here? I feel like I'm just floating around life and things are just happening to me. I'm the victim of what's happening around me. It's simply not true. We have purpose behind what we do, and it's being fruitful. It's having God work, becoming more like the image of Christ. God works in us to help cleanse us with the word to become more like him, a purpose of sharing Christ with the world. So we have a purpose behind our lives and reason for living. The world wants that so bad. Like, they want a purpose and something to live for. They're finding the wrong things to fill that gap, but we have the right thing. And then they want love. So many people want to be loved, and they need to, and so many people chase after it in the wrong way. They think they chase after a false notion of love. But we have the true love here with Christianity that we can be sharing with other people. So, as we abide in Christ, we show this to the world, and we share it, and we grow in it ourselves. We have the truth, the absolute truth. We have fruitfulness. We have a purpose to become like Christ, and we have love to be sharing with other people. And finally, we have joy. We can smile truly because we know things are settled between us and God. And we have peace that passes understanding that we can be sharing with other people. So I encourage you to do that and to grow and be abiding in Christ. Let's pray, and then we will have Mike Yaksh will come up and lead us in communion. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time and just the fact that you let us abide in you. It's the fact that you are eternal and you are never changing that we can even abide in you. So help us to see ways in our lives, maybe even this coming week, that we can abide in you more fully. Help us and cleanse us by your word. Help us to dig in deeper into your word and to take these things to heart and to meditate in your word. And it's in your Son, Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.